Half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Jeff Call. It was presented in January of 2006. The title of the message, How to Make a Great Family.
I told the young people this week, my best friend in elementary school was a boy named Steve Martin. And we used to hang out together all the time. And his mom and dad were, it was his mom and his live-in boyfriend. I think it was a step-parent after a while. But, well, they used to make fun of all the neighbors. And it was right across the street from us, maybe from here to maybe the outer door. And they used to make fun of everyone on their front porch. And I thought, man, they're going to get in trouble one day. Well, sure enough, they made fun of the wrong neighbor. And that neighbor brought out a shotgun. And they ran in the house, and that's a good step for them. And he started blowing out all their windows. And I was sitting on my front porch from here to that door. You know, I want to tell you something. I didn't have to have TV back then. that was probably one of my most memorable experiences. I thought, that is so cool. If I ever get a chance to do that, that's going to be fun. And the police, of course, took the other neighbor away, And that was just kind of, and so I'm coming to Bible college with that as a background. My mom just finished writing a book called Multiple Personalities. Her psychiatrist said she had 79 personalities, several dogs and cats in that mix. And I remember teasing my mom a little bit. I said, Mom, that's going to break me on Mother's Day. I have no idea how many cards to get. So we would joke a little bit. And I remember when she called me at college, hey, Jeff, I get a chance to be on Geraldo. And they want one of my children. I was just wondering if you'd like to come. No, I'm trying to get a friend level for new friendship. I'm trying to get a new friendship base. And I don't think that's going to work for me. I really don't think that's going to help me at all. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's a good family? And I had the privilege of sitting in, so many family camps. The preachers would come, do family camp, all these families would come. And it really was almost the cream of the crop. But, as the cream of the crop families were coming, there was something I noticed. Every family has difficulties. Every family has a weird uncle. Every person has struggles. There's no one that's perfect. No one told me that. I thought I was the only unperfect one. And now I'm looking at a whole church of unperfect people. So you don't have any, I don't, you think, oh, I'm better than them. Oh, no, you're not. Let's examine you a little bit. We all need Christ. Without Christ, all of us are weird. And I thought, there's got to be an answer. I want to make sure I put something together for my family. I want to make sure my family has the best chance to survive. And so I wanted to give you something, how to be a great family in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I think Moses gives some instruction to parents that could help all of us. He was responsible for the family life of this group that he was leading. He was responsible, and the Bible says things, it says important things about the family. The interesting thing is all of our struggles, all the things we're going through, the Bible always has an answer. God always addresses our needs. And so we have in Deuteronomy 6, 4-9, some instruction to parents. Here it is. I'll read verse 4 in the following. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Here are seven principles to make your family great. To have a great family, you must put God first in your life. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." You have to adjust your life to it. God is in charge. God sits on the throne. No one should usurp God's authority. You have to recognize God first place in your life if you're going to have a great family. Unfortunately, he's not first in many families. When we were growing up, there was a lot of fighting in our home. You know, we'd fight over everything. Who was going to get seconds first? You know, who was going to sit closer to the TV? If we were going to watch Happy Days versus Laverne and Shirley? We would fight over everything. We had one bathroom and eight people living in the house. And we'd fight over everything. And so my mom thought, you know, what's the best way to handle life? You know, I need to take them to a psychiatrist. And so we went on a five-year journey, visiting psychiatrist after psychiatrist, five in all. Every single week we went to visit with a psychiatrist. Man, I learned a lot. They were nice. They didn't talk a lot. They sat mostly like this. You know, they had cameras in the waiting room. I remember my brother Kevin. I think he's so funny. I think he's the funniest person I've ever met in my entire life. And Kevin, he always kind of organizes, okay, I think this is what they're going to do in the psychiatrist meeting. And this is what I think our response needs to be. And so he organized a, you know, kind of these random acts of violence, you know, that occurred. So we broke all the toys one time and they didn't want to see us anymore. I remember one time they said, you know, how do you see your family? You know, here's a circle. Where is your family in this circle? And so Kevin put him in the middle and everyone outside the circle. And then one of the tasks, draw your family. How do you see your family in 5 years? And so my brother draws a tree, a limb, nooses. You know, we had a sick family. But they had no solutions for us. I remember the last one that we went to see, I was 17 years old. He told my mother, he said, you need to get your kids out of church. You know, that church that he's going to, they read the Bible and it's filled with absolutes. God can't help them. My mom was very close to taking us out of church. But I'll tell you, friend, the church is what saved me. The Bible is what gave me the instructions that I needed to put God first. If you want to have a great, great family, don't go to psychiatrists, don't go to drugs, go to God. God will help you, and the church is where God's people meet. To be a great family, you must put God first. To be a great family, you must demonstrate a sincere and genuine love for God. To be a great family, you must demonstrate a sincere and genuine love for God. I remember years ago, I was sitting in the pew. I was a bus kid. Bus came by to pick me up. I'm thankful for those folks that have bus ministries. There's a lot of parents who don't want to go to church. They don't want to put God first, but there's a lot of kids who need that. They want that. And so here I was going to church. I tell folks that the bus ministry, all it did was get me to church. It was people in the church, when they put their arm around me when I came in, that's what saved me. They let me sit with their families, their normal families. They invited me out to dinner. They met my spiritual needs. I saw something I didn't see at home. In the church of God, I saw something I desperately needed. I saw genuine Christianity. There were some people that weren't so genuine. I remember sitting on the third row, and a deacon leaned over to me. I wore sweats and a t-shirt to church. I was about 15 or 16 years old. And he looked over me. He said, hey, why don't you wear something better to church if you're coming to worship? Oh. And I'm thinking, oh, I got a smart aleck here. You know, this is all I have. I got sweats. I ironed them this morning. Who ironed sweats? I ironed them. I had clean socks. In fact, I washed them the night before. I put them through the wringer. We didn't have a wash. We had to wring them out. And I had a t-shirt, one of those softball t-shirts, you know, just white with like blue, you know, sleeves halfway. I ironed that. It had a crease and everything. I knew how to do that. What's this guy doing? This clown? You know, hey, come on, I'm doing my best. And I leaned over and I said, why don't you shut up and turn around? You know, Now, I know that's not respectful. I mean, I probably shouldn't have said that, but I felt like all of those kids around the world who didn't have parents were depending on me in that moment. You know, I didn't look churchable, so I can't sit in the third row. I got to be dressed like you. Well, I don't want to be like you. Now, I was a little different. And I don't know what it is in this church, but sometimes, you know, if you get upset, some people, they leave. They say, I don't want to be part of this church. I'm mad. Now, that's not how I handled life. You know what I did? That whole time I thought, all right, that invitation's coming in a few minutes, and I better see that deacon up there praying, because we don't need guys like that in this church, and I'm staying here as long as it takes until all these hypocrites are taken care of. You know, they're not getting me out of this church. They need a guy like me. Now, that's different. That's some people say that's just confident, you know, or proud. Well, it might have been. I'll confess it if it is. But he wasn't demonstrated a sincere, genuine love for God to me, but there were so many others who did. And that's what I needed in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. I was looking for genuine people who love the Lord. I needed that. And that's what I need to show my kids. I can't be sarcastic in front of my children. I can't make fun of the preacher or other authorities in my life and expect my kids to think I love the Lord with all my heart. You know, I need to be, you know, completely dedicated, because my kids will know, just like the kids here. They know when they're dealing with a phony. They know when they're dealing with someone who's not totally truthful. To be a great family, number three, you must also commit to an ever-increasing knowledge of the Word of God. To be a great family, you must commit to an ever-increasing knowledge of the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6:6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. We have to commit the Word of God to memory. You know how your family knows that you're dealing with issues in a biblical manner? Is when an issue comes, you quote the Scripture. When a problem comes, hey, let's go to the Lord. Let's, you know, what does God's Word say about this matter? You know, every issue is addressed in the Bible. And so you need to go to the Bible to try to handle it. So many of us want to, you know, let's handle it right now. And we do it in the human wisdom, but we need to go to God's Word, find out what it says. One of my children a few years ago paid us the greatest compliment I think a parent can be paid. We were addressing an issue in their life, and our child said, Dad, why do you use the Bible every time there's a problem in my life? Well, because the Bible is our guide. It's our compass. It's a difficult world out there. We need to use something that's surer than our advice. But we need to commit. We can't answer with godly advice if we're not in the Word. And unfortunately, many parents aren't in the Word. In fact, I appreciate the track back there, How to Have Family Devotions. If you're not having family devotions, let me encourage you to get that. That's a good time. When your kids wake up in the morning, do they see their mom and dad praying? Do they see their mom and dad reading their Bible? Okay, it's a different time. Do they ever see you reading your Bible? Do they ever see you reading good books about how to live the Christian life? To be a good family, you need to commit yourself to the knowledge of God's Word. To be a great family, number four, you must be intimately involved in the teaching and training of your children. To be a great family, you must be intimately involved in the teaching and training of your children. Deuteronomy 6:7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shame on any of us if we relegate that to somebody else. I sat on a school board a number of years ago, and I had a lot of parents come through over a particular issue, and I heard many of the parents say it was the school's fault for the problems their kids were facing. You know, folks, I don't give that responsibility to just anybody. I may delegate, allow others to have influence, but it's my responsibility to train my children. It's my responsibility to teach my children. This might be a good time to say that there's a difference between telling and teaching. You know, you can tell anyone to do something, but you have to live it. You have to teach it. You have to walk through the advice and the counsel. To be a great parent, to have a great family, you must be intimately involved in the teaching and training of your children. Do you teach your children? Do you train them? You ought to. You ought to be reading good books so you can teach your family what to do in certain situations. To be a great family, number five, you must spend lots of time. I love spending time with my kids. I think early on in ministry, I didn't spend enough. I think I was busy about good things. I was traveling. I was you know, trying to serve and trying to be a help. And you get in early, and before long, you're there late. You do it one day, 2 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and you miss things. And all of a sudden, your children, maybe even your wife, maybe your husband, they start figuring out life without you. You're more of an interruption because you're a workaholic, because you like to give all this time to your special pet project. You're so important to your company. And I had this service syndrome. I think it was a good motive. I wanted to do right, wanted to be a part, but I didn't spend enough time. I think if you're going to be a great family, you need to spend as much time as you possibly can. I think work is, you know, something you have to do. You obviously have to be employed. You obviously are going to be busy at certain points, but you need to make that a priority. If you want to have a great family, you must spend lots of time together. Deuteronomy 6, 7, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Children are fragile and sensitive. They need listening time with their mom and dad. They need time just to have a great time. I remember watching a television program a couple of years ago. It was about a camp in Montana. They dealt with difficult kids. There's a lot of camps like that, and I tip my hat to all those ministries that work with young people. I love the camp ministry. I've been in it for over 20 years. I love working with kids. And so many kids come with difficult issues. And I'm surprised how many kids don't talk to their parents about any of their problems. I'll ask them, hey, did you talk to mom and dad? No, I can't. Either they're not available, or they yell at them, or they have to sit through a three-hour lecture. And so they don't want to. So they come to camp and they really enjoy some, you know, college-age kid, you know, just taking time out with them. I commend all those ministries that are out there helping young people. But this boys' ranch in Montana, you know, they kind of specialize in really troubled kids. And so a news reporter went out just to try to find out what was going on. You know, hey, why are you having such good success with those young people? And I like what the camp director said, really simple. The reporter asked, what do you do with these hard kids? And this camp director said, well, we have such good success, we just spend a little time with them. That's it? Yeah. You'd be amazed, he said. You'd be amazed how these kids respond when adults spend a little time with them. Just spend a little time. Is that it? I'm thinking to myself that he's exactly right. That's all they need is just a little time. And then the reporter asked a really hard question. Well, what do you do when you have a really, really hard kid? And the camp director said, oh, well, that's easy. We just spend a little more time with him. That's all kids want. They just want a little time. Most families neglect probably the most special time, the special part of raising a family, and that's spending time with their family. To be a great family, number six, you must constantly model godliness before your children. It doesn't stop after you go home tonight. I did my Christian duty. I went to church. No. Godliness is an attitude. It's a heart condition. It's something that happens consistently throughout the week. Deuteronomy 6:8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. It's an idea of consistency. It's always with you. And they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. How do you handle pressure? How do you handle difficulties and crises? You know, it's not wrong that you don't know how to handle them, but how do you handle them? Do your kids see you angry? Are you an angry person? Do you clam up? Nothing ever gets done when you clam up. My wife and I are totally different species when it comes to this. She doesn't want to talk about it for a little while. You know, she just wants some time. And you know what she's doing? She's praying. I thought she was just ignoring me. She's praying. I'm over here thinking, all right, when she does talk, I got a couple things to ask her. You know, now it's not even the issue. And, so I have a tendency, I want to handle everything. You know, I want to handle, you know, all this stuff to get, hey, let's take care of her right now. She's just kind of somewhere there's a balance. Somewhere there's a balance. But how do you model before your children? Do you model a godly lifestyle? They need to see godliness. You want to have a great family? Model godliness in every activity and arena of life. And number seven, to be a great family, you must never be ashamed of your faith. To be a great family, you must never be ashamed of your faith. Deuteronomy 6:9, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Everyone knows that you love God, and you're not ashamed of it. You don't hide in secret. When you go to your families or relatives, you don't hide it. And once your family or any family member senses that you want to hide Christianity kind of somewhere else, and this doesn't belong in our life at this particular point, you're really hurting your family. You can't be ashamed of your faith. Do they see you witness? Do they see you enjoying the fellowship of God? Have your children ever seen you stop by, give someone a tract? Do you ever pray with someone? Your kids need to see that. Your family, if you want your family to be a godly family, a great family, you can't be ashamed of your faith. Your faith's very important. Not everyone holds their faith as important. A couple of years ago, I went to a wedding. And they asked me to do the wedding, but I just didn't feel like I could in good conscience because of a couple of issues, and I was working through, and it was in Kentucky, and so they called me, and I talked with them. Hey, are you both believers? Yes, they were both believers. And are you going to church? Well, one of them said they did. The other one said she didn't. Normally what I do is as soon as I find someone who says they go to church, I say, hey, what's your pastor's name? Then you know if they're going to church. I can't remember. then you know kind of the whole story there. And so I talked with them a little bit, and I said, I prayed through it. I just didn't feel like I should do this wedding. They wanted a Christian wedding. But, when it came down to it, they wanted a couple of Christian vows. They wanted a couple of things to be said about God, but they really weren't into it. In fact, that particular wedding, it was a Star Wars theme, and they had no one standing up for them. It was all the stand-up characters from Star Wars. And so they had Chewbacca and Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and Princess Leia and then the white guys and the bad white guys. That's not me, that's the machinery. And whatever, I don't know what they're called. I'm not a big Star Wars buff. But, I remember going, I thought, well, that is really interesting. This is going to, if I'm going to travel from Wisconsin to Kentucky, this is the kind of wedding I want to see. I need a good laugh. I really do. And they asked me to walk someone up the aisle. They asked me to walk up these older folks. And so while I'm doing it, they're playing the Star Wars theme music. And I have to tell you, I can't think of another instance in my life where I felt prouder. If you could just imagine, dun, 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 dun. I mean, everyone should have a wedding like that. I mean, but as I got to think about the wedding, I thought, this seems so sacrilegious to me. Marriage is so holy before God, and they've really just marginalized it. I thought, this is, I hope they have a good marriage, but, I don't know, because Han Solo isn't coming to help you later on if you're in trouble. And I thought, they want faith, but people, it's not genuine to them. And I wanted my faith to be genuine. You say, well, Brother Call, what if our family is really hurting? What if we haven't seen the kind of victory that these verses or these concepts would have? Well, let me give you a verse that may help you. I hope it can, and I won't spend, long at all, just a moment. Turn with me to Acts, please, Acts chapter 20. I just want to read a verse. Maybe you're saying, I don't know what I can do. Well, I just want to give you a brief thought. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. A man called me. His teenage son wasn't doing well. His other son was doing great, but his other son was rebellious. He said, Brother Call, I need some help. I said, turn with me to Acts chapter 20 in verse 28. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. He was bringing a group of people together, say, listen, you need to watch these churches. You need to take heed yourself. First thing I told this man is, you need to be godly. These seven principles, these have to be true in your life. Make sure these things are true. Take the beam out of your eye Make sure your life is pure before God. Take heed to yourself. Grievous wolves are coming. There's a lot of enemies of your family, and they're going to come in. It's not a matter of if they come in, it's when they come in. There's going to be wolf bites all over your family if you're not standing guard and standing on that watchtower. The wolves will come in. There are people in this church who are no longer here, and they may be living in sin in the community. A wolf came in, and they got bit. That was Paul's counsel. Take heed. Grievous wolves are coming in. And then he says in verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul was saying, hey, listen, discipleship takes a long time. Christianity was taking hold. He really had patience. Parents do not have patience. I did not. I am probably the most impatient person. I didn't know I was impatient. I had to learn that I was impatient. And Paul took 3 years to teach these believers what Christianity was all about. And yet, you know what our mode is? If I have to tell you one more time, that's our mode. But you know what Paul did? He told them over and over and over and over again and again for the space of 3 years, night and day. That's what parenting is. But you get 18. And he says one other thing, with tears. Do you see Paul's compassion? He had compassion with tears. There were disappointments, there were failures, there were weaknesses in that early church, and he cried and he wept for people. We need to weep for our kids because wolves come in and they bite and they drag away and they devour the weakest member of our family. We need to have compassion. We need to have love for our families. For those of you that are experiencing difficulty, just remember this passage. Just go to it. Say, Lord, I want to be that kind of person. I want to watch my own soul so that I can watch for everyone else's soul. And I got to be aware there's enemies of my family. And I'm going to weep. I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to love. I'm going to pursue my family. We all have testimonies of how the Lord works in our family. But I'm thankful that we can have a good family. God promises to us we can have a great family. Just follow these principles and God will bless you indeed.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, How to Make a Great Family from Jeff Call. It was originally presented in January of 2006 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.